well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Welcome to another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. My name is Cam Edwards. Glad you're with me on the program today. We're going to be talking with Paul Vallone from Grassroots North Carolina here in just a moment or two. You know, I had said last week that I was planning on going to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania this past weekend to the Great American Outdoor Show. That those plans did not come to fruition. One of my kids asked me last minute if I would stay home. Wasn't quite ready to be left alone. So did the dad duty this weekend. Actually had a good time. Took the kids out to lunch in Richmond and enjoyed a unseasonably warm early February day. So hopefully you had a good weekend as well. We will have some coverage from the Great American Outdoor Show on the website this week. However, John Petrolino was there this past weekend, had the opportunity to speak with NRA EVP Doug Hamlin. NRA officers actually had a really interesting event on Sunday, a Q&A session with members. And it was Doug Hamlin. It was NRA President Bob Barr. I think First Vice President Mark Vaughn. And some other folks. It was limited to about 150 people, but a chance really, you know, for members to question and to grill NRA leadership about, okay, what's going on here with NRA 2.0? So I'm looking forward to seeing more coverage about that. And we will be talking, hopefully, with Doug Hamlin and NRA ILA Executive Director John Comerford within the next few days. I don't know if it's going to be this week, but if it's not this week, it'll be next week. Right now, though, I do want to kick off our conversation with Paul Vallone from Grassroots NC, the group hoping to push for, well, not hoping, they will be pushing for constitutional carry this week. You know, we've got 29 states already with constitutional carry or permitless carry on the books. North Carolina, probably the best opportunity to get to 30, but it's going to be tougher this year than it would have been last year. And we'll start there with our conversation with Paul Vallone. Take a look and a listen. Paul, thanks so much for joining me on the program. It's good to see you again, sir.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. So, you know, I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but you and I have both talked about this. I am glad to see that the push for constitutional carry is underway in North Carolina in 2025. But boy, I wish that the lawmakers there in Raleigh had been able or and willing to get this done last year.
Yeah, I would agree with you. We had HB 189 all the way scheduled for a floor vote, and the speaker, then Speaker Tim Moore, pulled it at the last minute after apparently the president pro tem of the Senate, Phil Berger, who is pretty much king of all he surveys in North Carolina. He said that because they had passed the purchase permit repeal, which was admittedly our priority, but he said that because they had passed that, they didn't find a need to do another gun bill, as if this was the bill of needs. So it died last session, and the sponsor, Keith Kidwell, probably the most pro-gun guy in the North Carolina General Assembly, he introduced it yet again early on, by the way, as House Bill 5. The good news is it doesn't have the watering down provisions that the speaker had required to move the bill last time he introduced it in its original version.
So this is just a straight constitutional carry. If you can legally own a gun, you can legally carry a gun.
Well, I mean, nothing. I like to say permitless carry, because at this point there are 29 different versions of constitutional carry. Okay, some better than others, and many of them, matter of fact, probably most of them have some level of restrictions that aren't just perfectly straight constitutional carry.
Yeah,
ours is a permitless carry bill. Basically, what it does is it offers the ability to carry without a permit to anyone who would otherwise qualify for a permit. In other words, you don't have any of the violent misdemeanors or recent DUIs or any of the other things required.
Okay.
It does not require any kind of permit. It does not require any kind of registration or anything else. It has those parameters. And we've had some people complain that that's not good enough, specifically the Dorr brothers and their local, one of their two dozen or more organizations, this one called the North Carolina Firearms Coalition, is telling people that this bill isn't good enough and that they should introduce a straight constitutional carry, yada, yada. My answer to them is that if this moves us forward, and if this is what the General Assembly will pass, then we should grab it and then continue pushing for lower restrictions the next time, okay? You get the ball down the field a few more yards.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, listen, I have my issues with the Doar brothers ideology and their practices, right? It seems like they often complain more about pro-gun lawmakers than anti-gun lawmakers for some reason.
Absolutely.
And you know, listen, I mean, if you have been involved, and I've been covering the Second Amendment as a political issue, as a constitutional issue for 20 years now, mm-hmm. you got to be able to play the long game, right? Our opponents are very good at playing the long game. I mean, if you look at the progression of bans on so-called assault weapons and how that's changed over the past 20 years, mm-hmm. right? They get a ban in place, mm-hmm. then they go back and they revise that language. Okay, well, now we're going to define it differently, to the point that now in Colorado, they're looking at banning virtually every semi-automatic firearm that can accept a detachable magazine, right?
Yep.
And it, you know, again, they've been successful at moving that ball forward, moving their ball forward inch by inch, yard by yard. That's how the game is played, but that is mm-hmm. how politics works, right? You get what you can get, and then you go back and you try to make it even better.
Absolutely.
So where is this? So I guess the big question is, do you think that House Bill 5 can actually get the approval of a veto-proof majority in the legislature?
Therein lies the rub. The bad news is that they lost the supermajority by one seat in the North Carolina House. We maintain you need a 6/10 majority, supermajority, to override a gubernatorial veto. And we once again have an anti-gun governor now, Josh Stein. Okay. And he's certainly going to veto it. I won't even say almost certainly. So we lack one seat in the North Carolina House. Now, that's the bad news. The good news is last session, when we passed the purchase permit repeal, we were one seat shy in the North Carolina House. The key lies in getting some of the Democrats. Let's see, Shelley Willingham, Carla Cunningham, Cecil Brockman, and Garland Pierce seem to be the ones that may do a walk. They probably won't vote for the bill, but if you can get enough Democrats to not show up for a vote, then that gives you the 6/10 supermajority, and that's exactly what happened in the last session with the purchase permit repeal. In fact, it was kind of amusing. The Democrats, and admittedly, there's going to be a lot of pressure on these Democrats to show up and vote against the bill. Okay, that's what we're fighting against. I'm presuming we have all the Republicans, and I believe we do. But they put so much pressure on Trisha Cotham the last time for doing this. Death threats from the party of tolerance, you know, that sort of thing. The Democrats are remarkably, I guess, good at applying pressure to some of their people. They applied so much pressure to her, she switched over to Republican, giving the Republicans a true supermajority, and they passed a bunch of stuff after our bill got them the supermajority. We keep reminding them that it was our bill that got them the supermajority. And so we're going to be pressing on it this year. As you said, it's the long game. So my intention is to move the ball forward as much as we can this time around. The only kicker about, you know, compromise, and we're a no compromise organization, but that means that you don't compromise your principles, but occasionally you have to compromise on tactics. If this isn't a pure constitutional carry bill yet, we're going to pass it. It moves the ball forward, and then we will clean it up as we go on year by year, because as you said, it is the long game.
Absolutely. And it's also the option between getting, you know, let's say 90% of what you want and getting 0% of what you
Correct.
Want.
Exactly.
And I think we're always better off getting 90% and then fighting for that other 10%.
Now if this were a circumstance where we were actually losing something, let's say they threw in something in the bill that would create additional restrictions for concealed handgun permit holders or something along those lines, we will kill that dead. Okay. We will not allow anything negative to creep into this bill.
Okay. That is good to hear. So what's happening this week? You're asking gun owners to show up at the General Assembly, right?
We are. We're going to show up on Wednesday, this Wednesday, the 5th of February at 8:30 a.m. in the printed bills office at the North Carolina General Assembly. I think it's 16 West Jones Street in Raleigh. And we're going to be basically doing a literature drop and introducing all of these new legislators to what they're going to see from Grassroots North Carolina in the near future. Because, of course, we use grassroots mobilization techniques. As the late Senator Everett Dirksen put it, when they feel the heat, they see the light. Okay. And we will be putting lots of heat on these legislators to move this bill.
Listen, Paul, again, I really appreciate you joining me on the program. I wish you the best of luck this session, including a great turnout on Wednesday. And we'll be talking again in the very near future. But thank you again for everything you're doing there in North Carolina to preserve and strengthen our right to keep and bear arms.
Thank you, sir. And anybody that wants to find us can find us at grnc.org, grnc.org, and they can get all the information about Wednesday. Thank you again.
Thank you. Paul Vallone with Grassroots North Carolina joining us here on Bearing Arms, Cam & Company. My thanks to Paul for joining us on the program. And again, if you can get out to the General Assembly there in Raleigh on Wednesday, please do so to encourage Republicans and one or more Democrats to get on board with constitutional carry. Right now, let's turn our attention to today's Armed Citizen story, our good deed of the day, and our recidivist report. We'll start there with a case out of Utah where KUTV did an investigation revealing what they call a flaw in a plea deal for a kidnapper with, quote, sex offender tendencies. Yeah, this is a weird one. Mark Vincent Devine, excuse me, recently accused of contacting a girl as she was walking home from school. Devine has had previous run-ins with the law. In fact, it was in August of 2023. Devine was investigated after a 14-year-old girl was found in with Devine. I guess in an Airbnb at some place. Devine at that point was arrested. He was charged with kidnapping. And there were additional charges that were added as the investigation went on. 5 counts of sexual exploitation of a minor, all of which are second-degree felonies. Investigation found a Snapchat conversation where Devine had asked the girl for nude photos. But Margaret Olson, the Summit County prosecutor, offered Devine a plea deal. If he pled no contest to kidnapping, she would dismiss all of the remaining charges with prejudice, meaning that they could not be refiled. Well, as you can imagine, Devine jumped at that plea deal. The judge in this case, Judge Richard Mrazek, accepted the plea deal as well. And then, to add, I guess, even additional insult to this already light plea deal, the judge sentenced Devine to no less than 1 year, but no more than 15 years in prison, and then suspended the entire prison sentence. And basically put him on probation for 48 months, giving him credit for 113 days that he served in jail while he was awaiting trial. So even on the kidnapping charge, Devine got away with a slap on the wrist. And then last December of 2024, just really a few weeks ago, 1 year after he pleaded guilty or no contest while he was on probation, KTV reports that Devine was driving around in Midvale, Utah, when a 13-year-old girl was walking home from middle school, and allegedly Devine tried to abduct that 13-year-old girl. The girl's parents allowed KUTV to interview her. She said, "I was walking home. I had just gotten through the entrance, and he pulled up in his car next to me. He was like, 'Hey, do you vape? Do you vape?' And I couldn't hear him, so I asked him a couple of times. I was like, 'No, sorry.' And he was like, 'Oh, I was going to ask for you to buy one.' And then he asked for my number, and I just said 'No,' and he drove away slowly because we were in apartments. He took my sense of safety." Yeah. Apparently, police investigated this as a suspicious slash potential abduction, as well as exploitation and enticement. The girl's parents say that they are outraged that this guy is free to, quote, keep putting our kids in harm's way. Said, nobody cares. The judge doesn't care. The prosecutor doesn't care. They all had a chance to do the right thing. And they failed. Now, his probation officer was apparently alerted to what happened, and he did go out and arrested Devine. December 4th, There was a declaration filed in court with the judge requesting an order to show cause hearing, alleging that Devine had violated the terms of his probation for the incident involving that 13-year-old girl. The order to show cause hearing was held on January the 10th. Probation and parole recommended that the judge in this case revoke Devine's probation and impose the original prison sentence. But I don't think that actually happened. Instead, the prosecutor in the case and Devine's public defender came to an agreement where Devine would admit that he spoke to this girl who he knew was under the age of 18, and the court would order sex offender treatment as part of his probation agreement. But again, no incarceration. Probation revoked, but immediately reinstated with the additional provision of no contact whatsoever with anybody under the age of 18 except his five underage family members, which was basically the terms of probation to begin with. So, yeah, this is a flawed plea deal originally, but also it sounds like the flaws in the justice system continue there in Summit County, Utah. And a guy who has an issue staying away from little girls keeps getting slaps on the wrist from the criminal justice system. Now, today's armed citizen story from North Carolina, where a homeowner shot an intruder during a suspected home invasion on Sunday night. This was in Goldsboro, North Carolina. According to the Goldsboro Police Department, officers responded just around 5:45 Sunday afternoon after they got an alert from a shot spotter. A system that identified the sound of gunshots. While investigating that alert, police said a man arrived at the local hospital with apparent gunshot wounds. Goldsboro police said during the course of the investigation, it was determined that the subject was shot during an incident in the 600 block of West Oak Street. Investigators determined that the shooting victim was suspected of breaking and entering to terrorize at a home at that address, resulting in a resident shooting the would-be intruder in self-defense. The suspect later identified as 30-year-old Deshaun Jamarian James. Take it to another hospital for treatment. As of this morning, listed in critical condition. Nobody inside the home harmed, thankfully. Police say at least one of the victims and the suspect were acquaintances, and they note that the investigation is ongoing. So, if we get more details, we'll provide them to you. Finally today, though, let's get to our good deed of the day in the right place at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing. An Iowa man who was saved a couple after their UTV fell through the ice in a lake there. Kyle Peterson was sitting at a restaurant in Okoboji, Iowa, waiting for his food to arrive. And he said he saw lights in the distance. Restaurant is there on the waterfront. He said something felt off. So he called 911. And then he decided to walk out onto the lake himself. When he got there, he found a couple stranded in the water. He was able to take off his jacket, use it as a rope, basically, to have them grab on. He could pull them out of the ice to safety. He said, I told him to keep going step by step a little bit longer. He said, we heard a fan boat coming. He said it was a huge sigh of relief. He said he's grateful that he was in the right place at the right time. And the couple are okay. Their UTV, I don't know about, but the couple themselves are unscathed thanks to the quick thinking and the fast action of Kyle Peterson there in Okoboji. And hopefully when he got back to the restaurant, I'd like to think that the food was at least still warm for him. I don't know if the meal got comped, but in the right place at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing. Kyle Peterson, we thank you for your very good deed. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of Bearing Arms, Cam & Company. I want to thank you for being a part of the program as always. Looking forward to seeing you back here again tomorrow. We're going to be talking with Toby Leary from the Civil Rights Coalition in Massachusetts. The effort to repeal Chapter 135 of the ballot box is underway, even as that sweeping gun control law being challenged in federal court as well. We'll get the latest from Toby on tomorrow's Cam & Company. Be sure to check out BearingArms.com throughout the day. We're keeping you up to date on all of the latest Second Amendment news and information from all across the nation. And again, I'm looking forward to seeing you back here again tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your Monday, as well as Mondays can be enjoyed. We'll see you here tomorrow for 2A Tuesday. Until then, be well, be safe, and be free.